Welcome back in. It is hour number two of VSiN Bet Center here on a Saturday night, live from our Circus Sports Studios in downtown Las Vegas. Back with Josh Towers. I'm Ben Wilson. Dan Miller, our producer, thanks so much for hanging out with us. A lot to catch you up on. Sometimes, Josh, as you look at the U.S. Open and any golf tournament, you need some breaks. You need to get lucky a time or two. Russell Henley, who was 290 to 1 pre-tournament, he just got a really nice break. Out of the bunker at 11, one-shot lead at 5-under over Richard Bland at 4-under with a couple big names lurking, notably Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, all at 3-under par. What does Bland do with it seemingly like looking like his round is about to go off the rails? He dunks it.
Russell Henley.
Dunks it in the hole. Russell Henley on 11 from the bunker in the bottom of the cup. 6-under par. Refresh that leaderboard. He's got a two-shot lead. And on the live betting market, he now goes still 4-1 as he is the second betting favorite. DeChambeau 4-1 as well. Rahm still your in-tournament favorite at plus 3.
It was coming in with some heat, too. I mean, if it doesn't dunk, it's
we've seen a lot of balls hit pins and sticks this week.
Oh,
a lot
did you see Sergio's today?
That was
early in his round.
That was rough.
It's like, you know,
we've all been there.
Hitting the flag stick is like the worst thing almost. And I couldn't believe that ball that Sergio hit on chip shot. That was his third shot on a par five. Going to hit it close, probably going to birdie.
And it spun back about 40 yards.
Right back to where he was. He didn't move.
By the way, Richard Bland has about a 60-foot par putt after he drove in the bunker on 11. So this needs to go. And it just gets over the ridge. So
speed.
He was dangerously close to leaving that about 18 feet short. Instead, that's actually a really good putt by Richard Bland. Just a two-putt from there for bogey. But Bland will drop back into that group with Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, and John Rahm. We mentioned this earlier. His prop, and I didn't want to bet this. Because how could you root against a guy like Richard Bland?
Can't.
48 years old, first career European Tour win coming at the British Masters about a month ago.
How about that?
You can't root against this guy. His prop for round scoring for round three was 72.5. Minus 130 to the over. He's about to be two over, which would be on a pace of 73.
There's a couple of
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to bet it. But
so was that
this was predictable.
Is it the British...
British Matt, not the Open, the Matt, British
yeah,
Masters.
That was his
Tour event.
That was his first win.
It was.
And it was a month ago.
One in
the
playoff.
You see the momentum. We talk about this in baseball
then
a lot.
Followed that up. T3 at the Denmark event right after that.
He was
coming in with good form. We just had no idea who he was.
And that's what we talk about, like whether it's teams or individual players where pitchers can affect it, which is why we look at pitchers all day in baseball. Like when you get hot, it's the same thing with this kid, Chris Baker. He's tied for 22 right now. He shot a 69 today. He's 200 on the days, plus one on the tournament. Monday qualifiers are back. And he's the same thing. He was playing well. He qualified Monday, and he's parlaying this into this, man. Like, when you catch these guys with momentum, that's why we've been talking about Rahm a lot, and you're plus 450. Are the odds there? No, but considering the way he has been playing, it's actually pretty good odds, probably. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have to follow. Like, there's something to say, like, when you're going right, your mind kind of goes blank, and everything you've worked on your whole life just kind of takes over without any distractions or interferences, and that's what we're seeing right now, and... Again, Bland, that's a heck of a putt. Listen, it's a bogey, but that could have been a double easily.
That's a theme at times at the U.S. Open. There are good bogeys that you can make, and so Bland will fall to 3-under par. By the way, another one of these out-of-nowhere guys who's making a charge. How about Mackenzie Hughes, a Canadian, who just drilled a 60-foot eagle putt?
Look at this.
Watch it tracking.
It's going.
Bang. Bang! Eagle! He is now 4-under par, 2-under for the day. Mackenzie Hughes, he pulls to within two of Russell Henley right now. So again, we opened the show by telling you there were three guys with odds north of 200-1 who were all in the top three. Matthew Wolf being the third. He has fallen back to 3-under par right now. If you wanted to get in on Mackenzie Hughes pre-tournament, he was only 350-1. So the three guys right now, and it's now the two at the top. Henley, 290-1 pre-tournament, 6-under par. Mackenzie Hughes at 4-under, 350-1, and he was still 80-1, and it was a very similar putt.
That was kind of like
to Tiger Woods
turnaround right there
in the third round of his 2008.
That's when he had
comeback.
The broken knee, right? That's when he had the fracture. That's
playing
when his caddy told him after I think what the first nine holes, Tiger, it's like you're risking your long term health. Like let's just withdraw.
Both on Thursday. And
yeah.
Friday.
He told, he's like, listen, man, you don't need to be a hero. You're hurt. And what did Tiger say to him? I can't say it on air because he cussed, but
this is VSiN Bet Center.
We are winning this tournament.
But we're talking some of the similarities. Tiger Woods, the incredible
run.
We welcome you back in VSiN Bet Center on a Saturday night here in Las Vegas. Back with Josh Towers. I'm Ben Wilson. There is a lot going on at the U.S. Open, and a couple of guys I think we all assumed, any golf better out there, kind of figuring, all right, the top guys, Russell Henley, Richard Bland, Mackenzie Hughes, this surely can't continue. Well, at least two of those guys have said, hold my beer.
Mackenzie hit five birdies and one bogey yesterday. In round one, I mean, it started bad, bogey, bogey, double, but then he followed with a birdie and an eagle. That was on the backside. He had just the one over on the front side. And then again today, on the front side, he was plus one. He did bogey nine, which, you know, probably going to be a little upset about that. But then he comes back and goes birdie, par, eagle. So, like, he's been playing well the whole time. I mean, again, like you said, there are good bogeys at this tournament. It's hard to not have any. And he has mixed in two doubles. But, you know, he's got a couple eagles. And you drain that and you look up and there's Mackenzie Hughes, and now he's got a lot to play for. So, again, this leaderboard is going to change a lot, in my opinion, over the rest of today and clearly into tomorrow.
Rahm's still your betting favorite, plus 350. He's at 3 under par, playing at 13, just three shots back. And you could make the argument right now that this tournament is, if you're still going to die on the, and I think it's a lot of people, me included, would still assume this, if you're going to, you know, die on the position of it's not going to be Henley, it's not going to be Hughes, you have McIlroy, DeChambeau, and Rahm all right there at 3 under par. We will quickly turn to the baseball because with us in the first hour, we were not planning on doing this, but there was something that caught Josh's attention.
How does this happen?
And I jokingly said that if you wanted to get in on the Blue Jays down 7-4 in the eighth inning with nobody on and two outs, it was 14-1 live. Josh laughed at me.
It was 12-1. What 12 for? Either way,
then it went to 12-1.
They're down what three or they're down three.
It was 7-4 going to the top of the ninth inning. You see what you're seeing on your screen. That is not an error.
It was
the bases were loaded 7-4. Paul Fry, Josh thought he should have got a called strike three on Marcus Simeon.
100%.
Did not. Walked him with the bases loaded. They take out Fry. So Tyler Wells comes in a 7-5 game. We went to break and then.
And I got to watch my runs give up.
And then, a little flare. I don't know if you saw it, Josh, but Bo Bichette had this little ball right off the end of the bat down the right field line.
Good at bat, by the way. It was 1-2 for a minute, a couple foul balls.
Falls past a diving, I think it was Santander and right, a diving attempt. Goes down for a two-run single. Then Vlad Guerrero, who probably will win, I think should win the AL MVP, double to make it 8. To make it 9-7, and then Randall Grichuk drives him in with a double. So 10-7.
So many questions.
Off of this brutal Baltimore bullpen, Toronto is 14-1 in the live market at one point. And if you were the brave soul, if you took the Orioles pregame against Alek Manoah as a plus 132 underdog, 4-1 out. I'm sorry.
Well, first question.
What are you going to do?
Can I please manage the Baltimore Orioles? Because this will not happen ever again. This is insane that you guys are doing this. Yes, it was a strike three to Simeon. Didn't get the call. Okay, I get it. Why are we playing at the wall in right field? Why was he so deep? I don't understand that, too. A single scores two. I'm not playing deep. I'm playing no doubles because then I'm giving up the lead. I got to be a little bit in. The ball should have been caught. Yeah, he had to leave his feet in right field, but it still should have been caught. So the defensive placement was wrong. How the manager of the Baltimore Orioles using his pitching is clearly wrong. 12-1 or 14-1. Did not seem high enough, clearly was plenty high enough because it's the Baltimore Orioles. And again, you have to factor in not just the players, but the manager, because now I'm going to start really wearing on him because the decisions he's making is putting this team in a bad position. That should never happen, giving up six in the ninth in a situation like this where Toronto hasn't been playing well.
I mean,
you're putting guys in a position they're not even used to being put in. And if you're going to do that, and I'm not even an Oriole fan, but baseball fan. So now if Wells is your, if you're going to put him into close, I don't know your whole situation, but if you're going to put him into close, now you have to give him another shot. Because anytime I throw somebody for the first time, nerves are going to crank in. More than likely, you're not going to get the job done because of everything that's at stake closing a Major League Baseball game. So I got to let you get the failures out first. Now I have to continue to give this kid an opportunity. If this is something that I want him to do if I want to make him better. But if this was like a last second, like I don't have anybody else, let's throw Wells in, he blows it, he's probably not going to see the game for a couple weeks again, like then you can't do that because then you lost him. Whoever you decide to plug in next is going to be wrong. Like there's so many things that come into play with all this. This stuff, again, there shouldn't be this big of a separation between winning and losing teams in baseball. There shouldn't be this many teams this bad. Like we knew, I knew the Baltimore was going to be the worst team in baseball. No, they're not the worst team. There's a couple teams, you know, fighting for that. But we knew this, and why? When you have all of this talent on paper and people telling me that I'm probably wrong with this, there's a lot that factors in. And watching, I'm not even going to say his name because he doesn't deserve it, but the manager for Baltimore has cost them this game, that's for sure.
I won't say it if you're
not. I'm not saying his name.
Maybe this Josh. Maybe we'll see Josh.
This is 25 years that I've, like 25 years in a row, since the day I was drafted till right now.
This all started.
They're still terrible.
Just because we wanted to see it. Two teams that Josh pitched for in his career. We wanted to see what the heck happened to Alec Manoah, the rookie. Why did he get ejected? And it turned into this.
So, and you don't deserve to win that game either if you're the Toronto Blue Jays.
The game's still not over.
When your pitcher gets rocked and then throws at somebody because he's mad at himself and get home runs, and then the Orioles let you off the hook, you're still coming to my
Jordan office, Romano in to save, by the way. And if you want the Orioles plus...
What are you going
to
get that at?
14-1.
That's it?
14-1.
Come on.
Right, same thing as what we saw on the opposite side. Let's go back to the U.S. Open.
They had pitching, too, by the way.
Yeah.
The Orioles, real quick. Let me just... Okay. Because...
You can get one last thing.
Well, and here's my other problem.
Then banish the Orioles from this bet.
Listen, this is all in-game stuff. It's all information you guys need to know, like if we're going to be betting this stuff in the Orioles.
That's fair. Yeah.
So my man Wells, who, by the way, they brought in to close today, guess when he pitched yesterday? Because he did pitch yesterday. Guess what inning he pitched? The fifth inning.
I was going to say fourth.
He came in the fifth inning and finished the fifth and sixth, and now all of a sudden he's closing. Harvey played. Fry did pitch the ninth, but it was a 7-1 game, so it wasn't a save opportunity, so it was obviously way different. But they did win 7-1 yesterday. They got rolled the day before that. So, again, this is stuff we look into, too, managers, everybody else. I'm going to pitch the fifth inning today, and you're going to ask me to close tomorrow? How am I prepared for this? What conversation did we have? What role? I'm stretching in the third or fourth inning to get ready to come in the game mid-game, and now all of a sudden, like, now you're going to have me pitch the ninth? The phone rang. I guarantee Wells had no clue in the world, Ben, his name was called. No idea. I bet the glove was probably there with the ball in it. He's ready. He's probably been ready since the fourth inning. But when his name was called by their bullpen coach, his heart skipped a beat because there's no way he thought it was going to be him. That's how unprepared the Baltimore Orioles are.
That's the Baltimore Orioles in a nutshell.
It's not his fault.
Okay. Let's go back.
That's my rant.
Let's go back to Torrey Pines.
Where?
Let's make Josh happy.
Money.
I hope this will make him.
There's money to be made fading the Orioles, y'all.
Making him happy. Well, that too. So Russell Henley, that miraculous bunker shot goes into the cup for birdie on 11, goes to 12, sprays his drive way right, and had about 238 in on the this is a hole that's played the toughest so far all tournament, and the number one hardest hole, 513 on the par four, takes a 3-wood, Josh, from the rough, had actually a pretty good lie, and it hits a really good recovery shot that goes through the green, so he's got a tough up and down trying to chip to stay at 6-under par, two shots ahead of the surprising Mackenzie Hughes, who just made about a 60-foot eagle putt on the par 5 13th hole to get to within two shots at 4-under par. As you see on your screen, Rory McIlroy, he's the leader in the clubhouse, the fourth betting favorite at 6-1.
What do you like on that board?
I bet John Rahm last night at plus 450. He's now plus 350. And Rahm is playing on the 14th hole. Rahm's just been, he's been very steady today, only one bogey, one birdie. You have Matthew Wolf, who's one over on his round today. He just went through the green trying to reach it in two on 13. So both he and Louis Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen, who struggled today, two over for his round, two under for the tournament, solo eighth place. Oosthuizen did find the green in two, so that 13th hole has definitely been a birdie hole today. But he's in pretty good position at the moment. Mentioned DeChambeau, he's playing on 17, 3-under today, 3-under for the tournament. And Matthew Wolf, Richard Bland rounding out the big group. It's right now five different players at 3-under par, tied for third. Mentioned Oosthuizen solo in eighth at 8-under. Yeah, the other big market too, Josh, that a lot of people bet on, and I'm sure are wondering right now, it's those top 10s and top 20s market.
Yes.
As Dustin Johnson was somebody who had a really nice recovery day today. 3-under, getting him to 1-under for the tournament in a tie for ninth with Scotty Scheffler and Christian Bezuidenhout, both those latter two names still on the course as we speak right now, and you see where they are a little bit further down the board as far as the live odds at this moment. So your top 20s, these are all guys T12th right now. Paul Casey, he and Rory McIlroy, the two low rounds of the day at 4 under par, 67. Casey at even par. Ian Poulter, hello, out of nowhere, Ian Poulter. Francesco Molinari, now there's a name. Mm-hmm. Sung J.M., Brooks Koepka, who really kept waiting for him to get it going, just did not today. Even par round, still even for the tournament. Those five guys, along with Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, who both of those players on 18, each with pretty good birdie opportunities as we speak. Harris English and Xander Schauffele, along with Kevin Streelman. Schauffele, a real disappointment today, the San Diego native, 2 over for his round. So if you bet any of those guys, I think I included Sung J.M., I'll just say him again in case I missed him. He was 2 under today, already in the clubhouse. If you bet any of those guys to finish top 20, you're going to sweat heading into Sunday because they're right on that number. I would have to guess, Josh, even par probably gets you a top 20. Maybe one over if you're lucky. The one overs are tied for 22nd right now.
It's going to be close.
And that includes guys like Jordan Spieth, who had a nice day.
A great day.
Martin Keimer, Lanto Griffin, Chris Baker, Brian Harman, Lee Westwood, Guido Migliozzi, all at one over par. That's our run deeper down the board.
Yeah.
That's like, going to be a sweat. I've got a top 20 ticket on Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, Colin. Even,
and I'm really hoping he can get up and down out of the bunker on 18. Give me some breathing room.
It's going to be close. Going into Sunday. Obviously, yeah. I mean, if you're in the red at all, you're probably safe. But, yeah, it's going to be close at even par. We're seeing some shots too, man. I mean, this course is playing hard, and I forgot who it was.
Henley, by the way, pretty nice out. He's got about an 8-footer for par.
Paul Casey said if the sun comes out, it's going to dry it up, and it's going to be harder to stop the ball on the green for the guys later. He said there's still some scores out there to be made.
Oh,
did he make it? He made
big
it.
Big putt. That is a big putt for Russell Henley.
Yeah, that's a huge putt.
Dave's Casey, par at the 12th, still a 2-shot lead on Mackenzie Hughes.
He mentioned that, man. Like, they had a little overcast in the morning a little bit, and the wind really hasn't been too big of a factor. He's seen the flag a little bit, but nothing crazy. But he did mention if it dries out, it's going to be a little bit harder to stop. We're seeing some shots, and again, we're seeing a lot of shots as well where there's a lot of respect for this course. That's the one thing we're also seeing. That was Mackenzie Hughes out of the sand. These bunker shots, they're all like
you would rather be in the sand than the rough.
We've seen the best shots, the closest to pin. We've seen hole outs from a lot of people out of the sand.
Great, great bunker shot by Hughes at the 14th.
And it was this Wolf. This is another great
happened
one.
Happened for par. And Matthew Wolf on the par
Fantastic.
5. 13th hole puts it to within 2 feet. So Wolf's got to tap in for birdie to get him back to even for his round and 4 under for the tournament. Justin Thomas, by the way, missed that birdie putt on 18. So he is going to be in the clubhouse at even par. Still waiting to see if Morikawa will have his birdie chance as we've got all sorts of guys in the mix right now. Bryson DeChambeau playing his third shot at the 17th right now after he was in some trouble off the tee. Again, a look at the live odds as these have continued to move around and shift. DeChambeau, I'm seeing now after having to play that out short of the green. 4-1. He, Henley, Rahm, all 4-1 right now. So if you believe in Henley, who's kept his nerve all day today, if you believe, got a 2-shot lead, playing with some house money, 4-1. Not quite 290-1 pre-tournament, but 4-1. And by the way, Colin Morikawa does get into the clubhouse with birdie on 18. So Morikawa 1 under. That'll get him a tie for ninth. So if you have any top 10 tickets, you would need to be 1 under. It looks like that's going to be your top 10 number, at least through round 3. A lot can change tomorrow for round 4. But 1 under your top 10s, even par your top 20s. Watching Louis Oosthuizen, and he's got an eagle putt at 13. Been a struggle today, Josh, for Louis.
Yeah.
We commented how surprised we are with his putting struggles, and he leaves about a 50-foot eagle putt short, about 5 feet. So he's got that to clean up for birdie. But that could go a long way, right? I mean, you get back to 3 under, get a little momentum.
3 under, you're right there.
You can't ever count Louis out, too.
No.
He's a lurker.
And just a putt today, as you mentioned, for him. I mean, if that's the putting's locked in, he's good. Russell Henley, 2010, tied for 16th with his best finish at an Open. Obviously, a guy who's been on tour for a long time, well-respected, just, you know, we know the name, but we don't know too many wins. It'd be cool for him. I mean, you put that amount of time in, you keep your card for this long. That's hard enough to do. You got all these young guns coming up out of the amateur ranks every year and just lighting the world on fire. And for these guys to continue to stay there and their mentors. I mean, we don't understand all the relationships they have we just know names on top of the leaderboard. This would be really cool for a guy like Russell Henley to go ahead and add to his trophy shelf, having been on tour this long. I hope he can continue. I mean, I'd like to see him at least down the stretch tomorrow and see how it holds up. Pressure, boy. It's so cool. It's so cool.
It's only going to ratchet
it's
up
so
as
cool,
we get into
well,
Sunday.
Play, right?
But DeChambeau at 17, so I was mistaken. It was actually his second shot from 91 yards. Hit a bombing drive on the par 4 into the rough, but about 91 yards away. Hacked out to about 20 feet. Just missed his birdie putt, though. So DeChambeau will have a tap-in for par to stay at 3 under, 3 back of Russell Henley. And, yeah, we figured, okay, of the two in that final group, surely one, if not both, would struggle. As far as actually the third round matchups go, you could have bet those today.
Yeah.
Russell Henley was minus 170 over Richard Bland.
Gotcha.
Which,
fair.
Honestly, fair price. And Bland just missed another short putt. He was 31 of 31 on putts inside 10 feet. He's missed a couple today. Now, 2 under par for the tournament, 3 over today. He has fallen into a position of solo 8. As Mackenzie Hughes gets up and down, he's still 4 under. Louis Oosthuizen makes his 5-foot birdie putt to get back to 3 under. That continues the chaos. We have got 7 guys within 3 shots of the lead on moving day at the U.S. Open. Not all we're talking about, though, here on VSiN Bet Center. On the other side, we'll talk about some of Josh's best plays. USC card tonight, yes.
It is the Diamondbacks. Oh, USC. Oh.
Cool. We'll get the ball. UFC first. That's coming back next here on VSiN Bet Center. Look at Hire Indeed will help you speed up the process. They have 135 skills tests to help you find the right candidates faster. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back in. It is a Saturday evening here on VSiN Bet Center. A lot happening at our Circus Sports Studios off Fremont Street with Josh Towers. He's busy looking to make some bets, as is I can tell what you're doing over there, Josh. I'm Ben Wilson.
Oh, we had another first inning. Yes, because the Reds are winning. That's part of the parlay.
The
first, what we say?
Okay.
First in, that was plus 115.
Let's get to Josh's parlay. For Russell Henley with an up and down to stay 2 shots ahead of Mackenzie Hughes as we look at Saturday at the U.S. Open. But let's get to Josh's parlay
first.
We're
adding to this parlay, even though it's already started.
My
Diamondbacks, Rockies, Reds, Bucks. That's basketball. Parlay. What was the red? What was the first inning? Was it plus 115?
Minus 120 on the Reds. We had this discussion earlier. 7 of the 9 MLB games today had gone over with yes runs in the first inning. Make
first
that 8 for 10.
Yeah,
first
I have to re-up
first
the, first,
yes.
The first nines. But yeah, strikeout. Strikeout. MVP Winkler double. Single. There's
Winkler's
your run.
Winkler's been
awesome. Yeah,
so the Reds.
Breaking, man, yeah.
The Reds strike first, 1-0 on the Padres, just underway in that game. And you take a look at some of those yes in the first inning records. I'm not a big just blindly look at some of these trends. I know you made the case for why you should just sometimes blindly bet these Saturday.
I said that
games
in reverse order too.
In particular, but those are the records of teams, and it's interesting the Padres have, and not that surprisingly because they've had such a good pitching staff. They've been one of the least profitable teams, at least if you're betting.
Yes.
So you'd actually be better off most of the time betting the Padres on the no-run first inning. However, it was a bullpen game today, so not maybe that surprising. And as we mentioned, the yes was juiced a little bit to minus 120. Meanwhile, the Astros are batting in the bottom of the first. That is a nothing-nothing game. So Framber Valdez got through a clean top of the first. That yes, Bryce, Josh, was plus 115.
We got a runner at second and one out for the Stros. Kind of Altuve reaches on throwing error by third baseman Yoel Moncada.
So you're live.
And then the ever rare, this doesn't have very much in baseball, Michael Brantley struck out.
That is rare.
It might be purest hitter in all of baseball. This dude can flat out hit, man. He's just a professional. Like, that's the definition of professional hitter is Michael Brantley.
With Lance Lynn at his 150 ERA on,
333 again.
On the mound today.
You want me to hit 330, 340 every year with about 20 and 80, 90? What do you want? No, I don't want that. This dude's low. I mean, his dad was my hitting coach in Toronto.
Okay.
So I got to know him when he was a kid. So obviously, he had that. His dad played clearly. And he had the professional coaching all the time, but he just has a just always had an understanding for the game of baseball and for hitting his whole life. Watching him come up to the minor leagues was beautiful. And again, just Michael Brantley's just been a professional hitter. What do you think his career average is?
I'm going to say Brant, he's had so many 300. I'm going to say he's a career, I'm going to say he's like 298 career.
Yeah, he came up in 2009, by the way. I mean, he's been playing a long time.
You're leaving me in suspense.
298. Right on it, buddy.
Boom. Right what do I it. Get for that? I did not have that pulled up on any of my multiple screens.
When you said it, too, I was like, this guy right on the button.
By the way, Yuli Gurriel base hit. We'll see if we can get one of those games on in our studio. We have so many TVs in here. We got to see.
First and third, one out.
First and third, one out with Yordan Alvarez coming up. So this might continue that trend. It would be 9 of 11 MLB games on the Saturday card with runs in the first inning. By the way, I just see John Rahm miss a pretty good look at wow, that was actually a par putt on 14. He now has to clean up about a 5-footer for bogey, and he missed it.
He ran the
ball too. Oh, man. Oh, man. John Rahm.
2 inches.
Whoa.
Where's your Rahm ticket? Is it a double?
Double bogey
I mean, he's still, 2 feet?
Double bogey for John Rahm.
I feel like on the comeback, he kind of rushed this. It didn't look like he went through his complete routine. You know, obviously, he doesn't feel like he's ever going to miss that shot. It looked like he pulled it a little bit, too. The first putt wasn't hit that bad. Like, it was a really good putt. He just barely missed, but he just ran it by a little bit too far.
It's a reason why I had, I'd like to take it on him. Outside of all of the recent form and the history at Torrey Pines, very good putter on these POA greens, both at this particular Torrey Pines course, on the South course, and just on West Coast POA greens in general. But that is a rough double bogey to take. So he's going to fall back now into a tie for ninth with the guys like Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, and Scottie Scheffler right now. He is 5 back, and taking a look at how that has adjusted the live market, he, just on one hole, went from your betting favorite at plus 350 to now 16-1. He does make his double bogey putt, but that is a...
That ball's gone.
That ball is gone. Rough double. Yeah, into the Pacific Ocean. Happy Gilmore is going to have to go find that ball. Russell Henley, now you're in tournament leader. And favorite, plus 350, leading the tournament by 2 shots at 6 under par. We'll come back, tell you the latest big day at the U.S. Open right after this here on VSiN Bet Center. Season is in full swing, so it's the perfect time to work on cashing tickets every day. Our VSiN experts like Josh Downs give you all the tools to make the most of every baseball bet, including live odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com/MLB. And our daily members only best bet emails. Now is the time to start your free trial and take advantage of all the betting opportunities this baseball season at VSiN.com/subscribe. And one of those betting opportunities was the yes in the first run today of all days, Josh. 9 for 11 now, and that came home. We were just talking about it, our last segment.
I think it's 10 for 12. 9 for 11? Whatever it is.
Whatever. That's a high hold percentage. Either way.
Mike.
Error, single, and a wild pitch by Lance Lynn gives the Astros a run. They're still batting in the bottom of the first. So both of those games, Josh, you had talked about. You said you kind of liked, you were liking.
We definitely liked the plus money for sure.
But you wanted the plus money. Plus 115 on the yes for the White Sox Astros. That is a yes. Also minus 120, yes, in Reds Padres. That comes home. So tack one to the yes column on all of, on those four teams you see there on your screen. The AL teams with the yes.
The Reds Padres was it was a reliever throw. And usually I don't mind.
Padres with by the way, leadoff runner on second.
Yeah, no, I don't mind when relievers actually start games as far as the no concern, because they know how to prepare. They come out ready quickly. That's really their job. In this situation, I think he was thrown into that kind of unexpectedly, and then, oh, by the way, you have given us 3, so maybe he can give us a little bit of an extension, and then it puts him in a different mindset compared to what he's used to doing, and so then there's the uncertainty of, like, what is my job really today for the pitcher for the Padres. So a little bit of uncertainty, and those are little things mentally that we're trying to take advantage of. obviously, just like Vandy in Arizona up here in college baseball.
College Baseball World Series going on right now. I was talking with Derek Stevens, owner of the Circa Resort, a little bit earlier. He's got himself. He said he had one game he liked today.
Oh, we've got a lot of baseball left.
That was Vanderbilt. They were about a -180 favorite with Kumar Rocker, the
stud,
the absolute stud pitcher, will be one of the top draft picks coming up. He and Vanderbilt against Arizona. This was the 4-5 matchup, and Vandy gives up a 3 spot in the top of the first inning. They're just underway in Omaha.
So that's
right
all the
now.
Stuff we talk about again too. Same thing. It doesn't change at the amateur ranks of college baseball. Vandy's good. Kumar's been amazing, just like Leiter. These two guys set the world on fire for this team. Arizona's been really good as well. But again, it just shows you what's at stake and the internal workings of adrenaline and nervousness. And I don't know how it's going to be. And is this the right pitch to throw? And then you kind of settle down a little bit and you get into rhythm. And it's no different than this ranks either. These guys gave up 3 in the first, and here we go. But I got a feeling this is this game.
This actually closed Vanderbilt -240.
But why wouldn't they? And I don't think people will give Arizona enough credit too. They played some series. They beat some teams that they shouldn't have. They seem to always have been the underdog, but they've been playing fantastic baseball. And then again, Vandy's been getting the headlines for most of the year, namely because of Mr. Leiter, who's been
that duo, Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker.
Easy to like just safely say, I'm going to take Leiter with the first overall pick in the draft. That'd be an easy thing to do. He may not. Maybe goes 2 or 3. But he's been getting a lot of the publicity, and rightfully so. And then Kumar really hasn't been getting it, but everybody who follows college baseball in Vandy knows how good he is because he's kind
so
of matched him
watch.
In stats.
So yeah. Fun to watch.
Drastically, you know, contrasting styles and whatnot, but definitely fed off each other.
Unfortunately, no live betting, at least here in the Nevada jurisdictions, offered on the college baseball. So no way for you to get in on it live. I'll check quickly to see if they're offering. They are not offering it either on the East Coast. So again, that's a newer sport you're able to bet on. Not too much of a surprise there. But again, 3-0 lead for
that
Arizona.
That pitch right there by Arizona as well, Ben. It was supposed to be a sinker into the righty, and he, you know, you don't trust it. Like it's the right pitch, but then you, and he pulls it all the way across. So instead of being a sinker in, it actually turns to be a lazy fastball away with no life, and then of course it puts him right on the bat, and then he gets an easy base hit to right field. And as pitchers, if we don't understand that, if I was trying to go in and I missed away, then I lost the finish of the ball. I lost like whatever it was supposed to do. It no longer does that. And then I threw the pitch in because it was set up correctly. That means the pitch away probably wasn't the right pitch, and then I threw you a dead pitch and I put you on it. As a pitcher, I have to understand that was my mistake. You didn't get a hit. I put you on the ball. Now, if I don't, this is what happens. The next guy comes up. Luckily, there was 2 outs. Didn't work out. Next guy comes up. He has the negative effects of, I just missed a spot and gave up a base hit. So he doesn't have that kind of trust. He grooves one to this dude. He hits a ball to where my left fielder, by the way, is playing on the warning track. I don't know why you're playing that deep, because now a routine fly ball turns into a scored from first double. You see what I'm saying? So we talked about this with the Orioles. If the Orioles weren't so deep, they would have ended that game and would have won it. Arizona's playing the warning track. If the ball's over your head, it's a home run, right? So now 90% of the plays are in front of you, and that ball, which is a routine, maybe a line drive, but it should have been a routine cut. Now Vandy's got life, 3-run runner at second, 2 outs.
But you just said long way to go.
Long game.
3-1. A lot of people laying it with Vanderbilt today on that.
And he's still so deep. Price. Like, what are you protecting against, in my opinion, if you're 2 steps off the warning track? As a coach, what are you protecting? You know what I'm saying? So you're kind of look at.
I'm not the one.
That ball smoked too, but right out the shortstop.
So Arizona will get out of it.
This is going to be good.
Josh is excited. Josh
I'm excited.
Is now invested, even though he doesn't have a bet. He's invested. Back to the U.S. Open, where we've expected the carnage. It's happened, though. Maybe not for the guys we expected. Sure, Richard Bland, the overnight Friday night leader, has struggled. He today, 3-over par through 13 holes. Down to 200 for the tournament. So, yeah, you could kind of see that coming. But, look, Russell Henley continues to be solid. He, even on the birdieable par 5, 13th, a little bit wayward off the tee, he's able to at least recover, get in with par, and is just on the 14th tee right now. So 6-under, 1-under today, and he is now your tournament favorite at plus 350, largely in part to the fact that now no longer on that first page is John Rahm, who just had a 3-putt from about 10 feet for a double bogey to fall back to 1-under par. He had been your overnight tournament favorite, was the pre-tournament favorite. Well, now he's fallen back in Rahm at this point in the 12-to-1 range as we speak. Henley, plus 350. Bryson DeChambeau had a good look at birdie on 18, but could not make the putt. A lot of missed putts today for Bryson.
Yes.
But he gets in the clubhouse with a very tidy 3-under 68. 3-under, he and McIlroy both tied for third. That might be your second to the last pairing on Sunday, and both he and both DeChambeau and McIlroy, plus 450 right now.
What happens with Bryson if that's the pairing? I mean, listen, his swing looked good. He you know, from his irons to his drivers, like, everything looked really good today. He looked under control. Again, to have every aspect work in the short game, the putting, the driving, the long irons, it's hard to get it all going, but he did a pretty good job. What happens tomorrow when he's paired with Rory and he's trying to, you know, he's the guy that drives the ball a long way and Rory's taking this beautiful swing and out driving all day? Is he going to play the mental games on Bryson?
Well, we are not going to get the Bryson-Brooks matchup.
No, we're not getting that.
Koepka, even
we didn't want that.
What do you mean?
I didn't want that. It's a waste of our time.
The rest of America.
They just don't like each other. Who cares? They're not going to fight on the course.
There was a fight in the Corn Ferry. Probably about that through.
Let's get some highlights.
I don't think we have any. What we do have is a preview of some big games on the playoff slate. NHL playoffs starting at the top of the hour. We'll tell you about that next right here on the VSiN Bet Center. Welcome back. It is VSiN Bet Center on a Saturday night. Thanks so much for spending your evening with us. Good luck on all of your bets. Hopefully you're doing good so far, and there's still a lot more opportunities to get to as we look at a live betting market in the U.S. Open right now. Back with Josh Towers. I'm Ben Wilson. Now we are going to get to, also in a couple of minutes, the top of the hour games, which will bring some big matchups, including in the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs, continuing with one semifinal series playing a game four tonight. That'll be the Lightning and the Islanders. I'm not sure what that...
That was a changeup. He just pronated and bounced it like...
Josh is always watching baseball in some form or fashion as a former major league pitcher, I guess. And you're just
trying to figure some stuff out.
That's just like your thing. We'll get to that in a moment. 3-1 Arizona on top of Vanderbilt is a big underdog in the second night of the College World Series. First games for each of those teams in the tournament in Omaha. But right now at the U.S. Open, we have two of the top guys, two tournament favorites coming into the week. Had really nice Saturdays, able to move up the leaderboard in Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau. If you're just joining us, they are in the clubhouse at 3-under par. However, two guys who we, I think, both expected, I think all of us, not just you and I, Josh, but the whole betting golf community, expected to struggle, and that was Russell Henley and Mackenzie Hughes. Henley, 1-under today through 13. Getting to 6-under for the tournament, your live betting favorite at plus 350. Hughes, he is currently on the 17th hole, 2-under for his round, thanks to a 60-foot eagle bomb that he hit on 13 to get to 4-under. So those are your top two right now. Matthew Wolf just dropped a shot at 14 to go back to 3-under par. And just a moment ago, don't have a chance to have this updated for you, but at least on that graphic, but Scottie Scheffler just made a nice birdie putt on 17, so he continues to lurk. Scheffler.
And he's got that par 5, 18 to finish.
He does, which has been a birdie hole. So Scheffler, a chance to get to 3-under with a birdie on 18. Oh. Right now, Henley has about a 30-footer for birdie on the 14th hole, which almost drops. That was a pretty good run at it for Russell Henley. With that birdie, by the way, for Scottie Scheffler, he moves now to 16-1. So it's DeChambeau and McIlroy each plus 450 behind the favored Russell Henley at plus 350. Matthew Wolf right now sitting at 9-1. Mackenzie Hughes 10-1. And John Rahm, who really killed himself with a 3-putt double bogey on the 14th hole, did just par the 15th hole. He is, though, 2-over for his day, 1-under for the tournament. Xander Schauffele, who has been also kind of a disappointment today, he has rallied on the back with birdies now at 13 and just a moment ago at 17. So he's gotten it back to 1-under par.
There's
along with...
big-time opportunities on 17, 18.
Oh, yeah.
17 is one that's kind of like... It's a short par four, but I think you're still, possibly, this is my own opinion, I don't know stats, you birdie, you still might be picking up a little bit on the field. 18 seems to be the one where you have to birdie. You can't really give it up. But again, there's 17, 18.
That has 18. Been the easiest hole on the course as far as scoring.
Okay, yeah. So 17 is an opportunity to move up the board quickly. Like, I mean, again,
hole 17 right now, according to USGA, ranking the 12th hardest hole out of the 18. So you're exactly right on that.
There's some, we've seen a couple birdies in the last couple, you know, guys finishing. So again, Scheffler birdies that one. That's huge. Now, obviously, he's a long hitter, too. There's a chance he gets in the fairway. He has a chance to be on the green in two. Again, it's a birdie hole, so we're looking at, if everything goes right, worst case, maybe 3 under for him, puts him 3 off the lead for right now, but right in prime position with the rest of the boys. And again, we've seen some eagles, too, so there's some things that can turn around through 17, and then there's that stretch in the middle where Russell's at right now that you kind of just want to par your way through.
I think Sunday might be kind of fun.
I want to see. Again, I don't remember what hole it was. Let me see. There's a par 3. It's like 138 today.
That's the third hole.
Okay. So, again, that's the same hole that was 198.
At USGA.
168. Now 138.
Change some things. Well, they had,
tomorrow.
That's a good question. They had one of the par 4s today was playing actually a yard shorter than the par 5 18th. Or, sorry, a yard longer than the par 5 18th.
Yeah.
The sixth hole, I believe. So USGA has really been able to mix things up on a round-by-round basis.
That's what I was saying about this middle stretch. So, like, 13's a par 5, 589. That's respectful. 14's 427. But then 15's a par 4, 521 yards. And then 16's a par 3, 199 yards. So we got, you know, that's back-to-back really tough holes. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little bit of reprieve on 17 and then obviously 18. So you got to be you got to be smart through this. This stretch, but again, that one hole, I mean, you're talking anything from a gap wedge to a 6-iron, depending on the day and the tee box. And then there's two tee boxes back-to-back, and there's a tee box off to the right. So then you have two completely different looks, but three completely different distances. That's what makes this course awesome as well, and the U.S. Open.
I know some people have been saying, Torrey, not the greatest U.S. Open venue. It's like, okay, that might be right, but there obviously are more crazier, wilder, tougher scoring venues that the U.S. Open has hosted, but this,
and it's not,
you can't
always
complain with Torrey. Come on, Torrey Pine, it's awesome.
So
it's been great to watch.
Again, we're at a major, right? We're at a U.S. Open, and we have one guy at 6-under with still holes to play, and then we have a 4-under and a lot of threes. Like, that's competitive championship golf to the best in the world. We don't need these courses where these guys are finishing winning the tournament at +1 and +2. That's not golf. That's not what that you're asking the best in the world.
So
that's not even respectful. But this is a respectful course with respectful scores on a major.
I think this is where the USGA would like the range
right here
to be,
in the
4 to 7 range. I agree. You're completely accurate on that. So Henley, right now, just watching him, he is off of the tee on the 15th right now, just about ready to go. I do think we are going to see Russell Henley be your overnight leader. Again, 2-shot lead right now on Mackenzie Hughes.
It's a long par 4.
This is a tough par 4 right now, but have to imagine Henley is going to be your overnight leader. He's going to be your odds-on favorite. I don't think a lot of people are going to be betting him, though. I don't think a lot of people will be trusting that he can actually get the job done as I see him stripe a ball, but it is cutting a little bit down the right-hand side and does just enough to stay into the fairway. So he does find the short grass, Russell Henley does, on 15. I don't think I think the most popular bet tomorrow is certainly going to be
Rory.
Those two you see in the T3 spot, Rory and Bryson, at +450. I think everybody and their brother is going to be on those two guys in some form or fashion.
You sticking
tomorrow
with your John Rahm, or are
that ticket's
you
in my account. So I did bet it at +450.
Yeah, what I'm saying is like, you know, going in tomorrow, let's say it ends right now, where it is. Are you taking any shots? Do you like Russell getting 2? You're still going to get Henley at good money, even though, let's say, he's hypothetically up 2. Mackenzie Hughes obviously played well. The eagle put him in this good spot. Do you trust that? Rory DeChambeau, pretty consistent 4-under and 3-under. Scottie Scheffler has a chance on 18 to be right in the mix. We know how good he's been. What are you doing?
You know what I would ask, and I want to see, they did just upload the data golf live on the live numbers as far as the strokes gained. What I would want to do, look at some of the putting here, and shocker, John Rahm has lost about 2 strokes on the field with putting this week. I'm interested so Oosthuizen, who has been such a solid putter on this surface, these Poa greens, great putter, especially in majors, especially it's a Torrey Pines, he was minus point so far, minus .07. He right now has a long opportunity for birdie that comes up just short on 15. I might play Oosthuizen, in all honesty, I could play him in a fourth round matchup.
Is there anybody that can go 6 or 7 under? I mean, is that day possible?
I think 4 is probably your max, and that's considering the fact that these guys will be teeing off, most of these players in the later groups teeing off when the scoring conditions are tougher. Keeping in mind that, I mean, Rory McIlroy was basically about, normally you look at guys who gain tons of strokes putting, and that's the one category that has the most variance, and you look to maybe fade them the next round. McIlroy was basically about field average on the putting today, and yet he fires a 4 under 67. So it is doable without just getting an incredibly hot putter. DJ was by far the best putter today.
Great.
He gained about 5 strokes on the field in putting.
And there were still a couple he left out there.
Like, Johnson was below average in approach off the tee and tee to green today.
And that's what I was wondering. Like, can he go out there and fire a 6 under?
So Johnson is not somebody I would be looking at deeper on the board. Look, I would also add as well, and I won't play it because I've already invested on Rahm. We've seen this play out a few times where Rahm's been weirdly bad early in weekends when he's been in the mix at majors, only to then kind of backdoor his way into a top 10 or go low on a Sunday when he's out of contention. If it's, say, and Rahm, it'll be a big minus price against whoever the matchup you find with him. He was minus 200 today,
fading?
I think.
Who are we fading him on? Matchup plays? Overall.
So I would say I think Rahm would be a good matchup bet. Unfortunately, you're going to have to lay a lot of juice. I like Oosthuizen would be a good matchup bet. Honestly, Matthew Wolf, while I have loved the way he has fought through the mental struggles that he's been very open about and his look good. To me, like the up and down nature of his game on a course like Torrey Pines, you just can't get away with for 4 rounds. I mean, he has been all over the place.
Being a Southern California kid, not too far down the road.
I know.
Maybe he's been on this course a few times. You think that helps?
No, it's definitely. He said he feels right at home on this course. But as it would stand right now, if you get an Oosthuizen Wolf matchup, and now I think Oosthuizen would be,
I think so,
slightly
too
favored.
That
is actually a matchup I would play. Honestly, you might get a good price at fading DJ on Sunday because nobody's going to want to bet against
him.
He's
going to have a good round, yeah.
I actually think fading Dustin Johnson from a number standpoint might actually not be the worst thing in the world. But I have to think Russell Henley, Russell Henley Mackenzie Hughes final grouping is going to be fascinating to watch. It's hard not to think that one of Rory McIlroy or Bryson DeChambeau will not be hoisting the trophy come Sunday night. That's all I know. By the way, Scottie Scheffler was trying to get himself to 3 under. He drove it into the bunker on 18,
here.
So he'll have to lay up. Still though, chance to get up and down, make birdie. He does, hit his second shot into the fairway.
He left himself a number he's comfortable with.
All right, he's got a shot to get to a 3 under, and Scheffler's just been lurking very quiet this whole round so far. And Russell Henley right now playing on the 15th hole. He'll have about 229 on that long par for the third toughest hole.
Is Scottie Scheffler a guy that as soon as he breaks through, wins something like this, wins one of these, respectful tournaments, it's we're just going to see him every day? Like, I just feel like he's so talented that he's going to be
a lot of people
call him more Cowers than those guys, right?
Definitely is in that. And I like Jeff. I didn't bet him this week. I think he's a really solid player. So that's the U.S. Open. We're coming down the stretch, which we'll talk about more in our final hour. We'll also get our previews in of the Lightning Islanders big game 4 and a huge game 7 in the NBA. Bucks Nets starts in about a half hour. We'll tell you about those on the other side here on VSiN Bet Center.
Hope you bet the best.